So my question first and foremost is, how many of us actually can remember what we talked about last week? I'll give a brief summary and synopsis. You remember? Actually, before I even get started, hon, can you lead us in our simple prayer, please? Our simple prayer, you know, the one we do every Sunday?
Yeah.
I think I might have forgotten to do last Sunday, but that's okay. We'll do it this Sunday. Lord, I have your word and I believe it's true. I have everything it says I have.
I can do everything it says I can do.
I am.
And I am everything it says I am.
I am everything it says I am.
Jesus name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 While I'm going through this little brief review, if you could kindly turn to John, the 9th chapter. Put your finger at 34 through 39. And we're going to go just a small bit back. That was really awesome, by the way. I did just see that. That was really cool. Nobody else saw it. I did, though. It's just a little bit before very first part of chapter 9, 1 and 3. So just put your finger, it's kind of, some people might be just one page, some people might be on the same page. You're lucky if it is on the same page. And what we talked about last week was the pollution and the corruption that our eyes, our physical eyes, have received throughout history, starting with Adam and Eve at the tree. And something very profound happened when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of that tree. Their eyes were opened. And it says it in Scripture, their eyes were opened. And people might say, oh, well, that's a good thing, right? No, that's a bad thing. Because their spiritual eyes were already there. When they ate that fruit, their physical eyes were now opened. And that was the death of their spiritual eyes. But we have a great, great, awesome privilege to get our spiritual vision back. And I'm going to start reading from John 9, 1 through 3. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." And we're going to go on to the end part of that, 34 through 39. "And they answered and said to him, You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they cast him out." And this was the blind man. "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. Then he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also?" I'm going to keep going. "And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains." In this short little teaching that Jesus was using this blind man for, so much happened. A lot. A whole lot. And this can get really deep if you wanted to, but I'm going to keep it simple and short, so that we can move on to the deeper aspect of this spiritual sight. Jesus healed this blind man because God provided this blind man's, or absent of sight, I should say, as a chance and an opportunity to show something more real and profound, mainly to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees rejected this blind man's healing because that's not so. Can't be done. You were blind. You can't have sight again. It's not possible. They kicked him out because he said, you know, a man told me, put mud on my eyes and wash 7 times and now I can see. Okay? And so they didn't believe him. They cast him out for telling lies and being deceitful. And Jesus confronts him and says what he says. And the Pharisees are convicted so deeply about it that they were rejecting Jesus at that very moment. In the short of it, when he said that, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may see may be made blind," through this one short phrase, that one phrase he said, meant something so much more. He meant that at that point, if we see physically, which we learned last week, we see physically, that we're going to be made blind. That's what he's saying. And that if you're blind, you will be able to, you will see. And what he's saying now is those that are blind will see spiritually. And this comes through Jesus. How many of us receive Jesus? Guess what you guys have in your hand right now? You have spiritual eyes. But they're sitting right here in your hand. They're in your hand. You wonder why they're in your hand? You don't have a place to put them. Because you're still operating with your physical eyes. You can't use your spiritual eyes if you're using your physical eyes. It doesn't work. The body only has two sockets for two eyes. Not four. Although some of you with glasses may perceive and say, oh, you know, haha, four eyes. But that's not true. That enhances your vision, but that's all it does. Okay? And this book by Rick Joyner, it's The Two Trees, actually expressed something truly profound that goes right along with this scripture. Okay? And in the book, I'm going to read pretty much a passage right from the book. He says, Saul learned this on the road to Damascus, and he's referring to John 9:41, which we just read, that he had to be struck blind before he could truly see. Sooner or later, so does everyone that would come to know Jesus. Just as Saul had to become blind to the natural before he could see in the spirit, so must the Cain in all of us. If one thinks that he sees, then his sinful nature obviously remains. Only by the blinding light can our sin be removed. Until we have been blinded, we will never truly see. My question for you today is, how many of you want that option? How many of you want it today? Raise your hand if you want it today. Ken, would you come up here, please? You're going to have that awesome privilege today if you want it. Now, I know you note-takers may be sitting there saying, but I can't write, I can't take notes. Well, guess what? Our church provides this awesome ministry in the back of recording every single sermon that we have on Sunday. If you're operating so much on the physical that you have to take the notes right now, what's wrong with taking it later? Amen? How many of you guys want it today? Here you go, Ken. I'll give you a handful. You can hand them out one side. I got the other side. All right. Now, I'll let you guys know I've tried these on. Some of these may not work too well. Okay. If they don't work too well, you know, let me know. I'll give you another one. You don't want one, Ken? Would you want one? Sean? No? Okay. It's okay if you don't want one. It's okay. I would hope and pray that you guys do want one. If it does break or whatever, it's fine. I got tons extra. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it. Okay. One thing I learned with these is it's better if your eyes are closed than trying to open them and see what's going on through the, you know, the holes in there in the felt. It's not that easy. Trust me. I know. I tried it. Okay. Now, there's one thing that really happens. It's really profound when you can't see. And I look at it from a military perspective. If old-fashioned military warriors had a sword and a shield. Now, we know it's spiritual representation. Sword is the word. Shield is faith. Okay? If you see something coming and it's dangerous and hazardous to you, you put your shield up. When you have your shield up, you can't see. You cannot see. But you're blocking everything that's coming at you. And you could walk forward with your shield up, knowing that you're protected. You can keep moving forward. That's exactly how you guys are going to have to operate right now. And that's through faith. I'm going to read some scripture here. Hopefully you guys will be able to tack on what's going on here. I'm going to tell you the scriptures. Obviously, if you can't follow, that's fine. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Would you like one too, Amber? Would you like one? That's okay. I'll give you one. Do you want a blindfold? Okay. I'll give you one. Here you are. You can take your glasses off. You're not going to need them, okay? All right? There you go. And don't be confused. Just be blind. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We know this one. hope for evidence of things not seen. For if by the elders obtained good testimony, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. And 2 Corinthians 4 through 17 through 18 as I get there, says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The main thing here is that we're going to build faith, because through faith, we will now learn how to operate our spiritual eyes. We'll learn how they work. We'll learn exactly what they're for and how they operate. But once again, it's through Jesus. Okay? I'm going to use an example here for you guys that can't see. Stand up for me. Now, for you that can see, I'm pulling Ken up right now. He's standing up. And Ken, I'm going to move you to about... I got you. I'm being careful. I don't want to hurt you. Okay? All right. For you that can see, Ken is facing a certain direction. He doesn't know which way he's facing. He could guess. Okay? Now, if I ask Ken to walk towards the window on the left side of the church, Ken, walk to the left side of the window on the church. Stop. It's very difficult for somebody who can't see to walk to a side of the room. Ken? Okay. Now, as he's still blinded, I'm going to move over here and I'm going to grab him real quick. I'm going to pull him again. Come with me. Now, I was just letting him walk. Now, here's what God does with us. We're blind. We can't see. Ken, follow my voice. Walk towards my voice. Can you hear my voice? Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep coming. You listening? Keep going. Put your hand out. Grab. What God does supernaturally, when we decide that we want to be blind, when we want to walk by faith, I'm bringing you to your seat again. All right? When we decide to make that trip, when we decide we want to be blind, and we want to walk by faith, God tunes our ears in. He tunes our ears in. We now have an ability to hear something that we used to not be able to hear before. We were deafened to it. Your ears increase so much more. And this is true for people that are actually blind, physically blind, cannot see. They have very good hearing. They can hear when doors open. They can hear when people turn knobs. They can hear when lights turn on. Their hearing is amplified. So is ours. We have that ability now. Okay? And most of us, we've heard this saying. We've heard this saying a million times. If you haven't heard it in pastor's words, you've heard it in Bible study. You've heard it from me. You've heard it in discipleship teachings. You've heard it everywhere we go. And I guarantee you, I can start the phrase and everybody else will continue it because it's that ingrained in us. It goes like this. God speaks to my spirit, which my flesh... Okay, we all understand this, but I'm going to stop you guys. We're going to start right there. God motivates my spirit. God speaks to my spirit. These are our steps to learning how we are going to operate our spiritual eyes. Because before we can just plop those suckers into our sockets that are now empty, because you guys that have blindfolds on, you're operating without physical sight right now. But before you can pick your spiritual eyes out of your hand and plop them into your eye sockets, you gotta know how they work. Okay? You build a toy for a kid. There's steps that you have to follow in order for it to work. If you don't follow each step by step, that toy will not operate properly. And that kid will be disappointed. In which case, then you have to go back and figure out what step you missed and fix it. But we got four steps here. God speaks to my spirit is step one. He's speaking to each and every one of you right now, especially those of you that have blindfolds on. He could be speaking to you through the word that's coming out right now. He could be speaking to you in your spirit. He could be speaking to you through the word of God. He could be bringing scriptures into your ear. Are you listening? Because that's the key. If you're listening, you got step one. It's not a difficult step, but it is the first step. Very easy step, but it is step one. Step two is which enlightens my mind. Now, after he speaks to your spirit, those of you that do have the blindfolds on have a great privilege here. You can't see what's going on right now in front of you. So the only thing you have to see right now are the images that are coming into your mind through this word. If I say elephant, most of you that have blindfolds on should see an elephant. It could be pink, green, purple, polka dotted. It doesn't matter. Let your imagination run wild with it. But you guys should see an image pop into your mind. Now, with God, it works the same way. God speaks into your spirit. If you're in the spirit and you're looking at what he's showing you through the hearing that you're hearing, and you see the image pop into your mind, you now have that in your mind. You guys with me? You with me? I'm not losing you guys. I don't want to lose you guys. Okay? Something really awesome and profound. Me and Jesse went and saw Chronicles of Narnia last night, or Friday. And I'm sorry, I'm one of these guilty pleasures. I love the previews. How many of you guys love going to the movies to see the previews? I do. I love the previews. I love seeing what's coming out. You know, it comes out. Oh, yeah, you're looking at it. It's pretty cool. It's short. It's sweet. They put the good parts in there. They make you excited. They make you want to see it. Guess what? God does the same exact thing. He's going to show you what he's going to do with you. He's going to give you an example, a sneak preview. He's not going to show you the whole thing. No, no, no. He wants to get you excited about it. He wants you to be emphatic about it. He wants you to get involved with what he's showing you. So he's going to show you just a small little bit. He's going to talk to you about it. He's going to speak to you. And it's going to produce this image, which is like a sneak preview of what he wants to do with you. How many of you guys have experienced that? Had a personal experience where God showed you what he was going to do in your life. She might show you what he's going to do tomorrow. If you see. He does that exact thing with us, and we should be excited. Which brings me to step three, which motivates my flesh. Now, I'm going to be honest here. This is where every single one of us fail. Every single one of us. I'm included. Because you want to know something? When it comes down to actually motivating my flesh, he doesn't motivate my flesh. I motivate my flesh. Motivates my flesh. So that image should motivate me to move my butt to where I need to go to do what I need to do. But we don't do that. We're not motivated enough. We sit down. We chill. We relax. Nah, I'll get to it. Nah, I'll do it when I got the time. Nah, I'll do what I have to do. Is that what God showed you were doing? Is that what God said you had to do? This is the exact moment where we turn around and we go back to the cross that we nailed our physical eyes up on and we go, nah, I'd rather not put our physical eyes back in our sockets and go do what we want to do. Note, what we want to do. Because that's what your physical eyes are. That's what you want to do. Your spiritual eyes are what God wants to do. And if you're operating that way, that's where you stumble. It's not motivating enough. The spiritual aspect of this walk is not motivating enough for you to want to go and actually do what God wants you to do. But if it is, and if you can get past that step, and this is a crucially difficult step, I will not argue. It's very hard for us as Christians, because we have to live in these bodies. We have to live with our flesh. Some people hear it all the time. Go nail your flesh up on the cross. That's so hard to do. Because this world is full of garbage, full of filth, and your eyes take it in every day. But as we learned last week, we have a privilege of rebuking those images before they enter our mind. And when you guys get done today, I hope you will understand something truly profound. But let's go on to step four so you guys can have the final instruction as to how to learn to operate your spiritual eyes. To accomplish, and I add to this because this is important, the holy and acceptable will of God. First of all, anything that's the will of God is holy and acceptable. He gave it to us. If we can do step three, step four is guaranteed. If you can motivate your flesh, you will accomplish the holy and acceptable will of God. You will. It will happen. Which brings me back to what we were just saying. Faith. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. You don't see it. You can't have it. If you see it, you can have it. But the only way we can see is if we become blind. Most of you right now are wearing blindfolds. Most of you are currently blind. Most of you cannot see what is going on right now. If we understand where we're at right now, with our blindfolds on or not, that's fine. These four steps now have given us the uncanny ability of knowing how to operate our spiritual eyes. It's very simple for us to get caught up in the now and then. It's very simple for us to sit there and say, well, but Gary, you know, can't help but, you know, see what's going on. And, you know, I watched that movie the other day and it had all this, like, you know, sex and pornography in it, you know, but it was a good movie. You have an option. It's called the power button. If you're hanging out with somebody and they're doing something you don't want to partake, you have an option. Go away. Like I said, the key step here is three. The key step is motivating our flesh. If you want to continue to operate spiritually and have the spiritual eyes that God's given you in your hands today, motivate your flesh. Motivate yourself to continue to do that. To continue to do the will of God. It may be something as simple as God's encouraging you. He's telling you, I need you in the Word. I need you to be in the Word, reading the Word. Why? Why is that so profound? If your eyes are seeing what God says, will it become a reality to you? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're associating yourself with believers to get built up and encouraged spiritually, is that going to motivate you? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're partaking of Christian music and partaking of Christian films and partaking of Christian events, is that going to get you to spiritually see what God wants to do worldwide? Absolutely. There's a lot of great bands out there. Bands from Australia, bands from England, bands from, you know, Canada, bands from Africa, bands from Asia. There are great Christian bands out there. And they're all preaching one message in their music. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much more should we be doing that? How much more should we be doing that? How much more should we be able to go out here and go hang out with a bunch of guys? You know? Go to a place where, you know, hey, it's filled with the filth and disgusting, you know, nature of the world. But I know, because I got my spiritual eyes in, not my physical eyes, but my spiritual eyes, I can see what God wants me to do when I walk into that room. I can see it. Because before I even get to that door, God's already showed me what I'm going to do when I walk in that door. And I will not be fazed by the world. The world cannot affect your spiritual eyes. They cannot. Because that's from God. However, Once again, back to where we were. Step three. How many of us are actually going to walk into that building with our spiritual eyes in? Or are we going to pluck them suckers out, go back to the cross, pop our physical eyes in because we want to see what we want to do when we walk in there? If I'm stepping on toes, good. Good, because you need to know that your physical eyes are not worth keeping. Hear me. They're not worth keeping. They are only going to cause you to sin. They are only going to cause you to do what the world does, operate the way the world operates. And my scripture says that there is nothing in this world that is good. Nothing. That's why when Jesus comes and yanks us out of here, Satan's having a field day, God's going to take the world, crumble it up in the palm of his hand, and go into the basket of fire. And that's it. You want to partake of this world? By all means. But don't blame God when your fate comes. Because he gave you the spiritual eyes. He put them in your hand. He said, it's your job to put them in. It's your job to operate with them. To know how to operate. And I'm giving you a word, hopefully today, that will convict you. And now you are accountable to it. Not only are you accountable because God put them in your hands, but now you're accountable to actually know, you know how to use them now. So when God turns around and says, well, why didn't you do this? Oh, I couldn't see what you wanted me to do. You knew they were in your hand. You knew how to use them. Why didn't you do it? Why? I know why. Because you loved yourself more than you loved God. And to finish up, this book also has one more thing that's truly profound. Two Trees book. I'm just going to read this section out of it. Our ultimate calling is to ultimately believe. But this faith is not blind, and it is not naive. It is the ultimate vision and understanding. Abraham did not know where he was going, but he knew exactly what he was looking for. And also so must we. He was looking for a specific city, one which had foundations. We have been called to be part of the same city. Our calling has substance. The faith we live by has substance, and the city we have been called to inhabit has more substance than all the futile works of man. If we settle for less, it is not true faith or the city God has built. Amen. Remove your blindfolds and start to see spiritually. Start to actually see what God wants to do with your life. Start to see the things that God's called you to do and start doing them. Be motivated. Be encouraged. This is not meant to be a message to step on your toes. It's a message meant to encourage. If it steps on your toes, good. Because if that conviction is enough to get you to be motivated to start doing what God wants you to do, then God did his job today. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this word you provided, God. I pray, Lord, that you would work in that, God, in that realm that people are struggling, God, with those areas in their flesh, Lord, that you would supernaturally, God, rip out those physical eyes, Lord. Pull away the strongholds, God, that just keep bringing them back to the cross and yanking them down, God. Remove those strongholds, Lord. And allow their spiritual eyes to start flourishing, God. Allow their spiritual vision to start seeing what it is you have planned for their life and for the kingdom, God. Because you are seeking the kingdom in our life, God, so that we can implant that kingdom into somebody else's life, God. I pray, Lord, that this message would stay strong in their hearts, God. And Lord, I just thank you for the word that you've given to me first, God. And thank you for giving me the privilege to share it with your people today, God. And I just bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.